headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Quarter number four, our preview of the Ohio State game is brought to you by Shotzi's Jumbo Brats. You can find their great brats and jalapeno relish at shotzisbrats.com. Shotzi's Brats, the blue and white tailgater's choice. All right, gentlemen, 7:30 kickoff, Beaver Stadium. Thank you, Bob Flounders. Ohio State and Penn State, pair of 4-0 teams. The line is what, 2.5 to 3? I've seen
it's around 3, 3.5. Ohio State.
Ohio State's favored. The over under 67.
No, it went way up. It's 71.
It's up to 71.
As we're talking about it now, it's 71.
I didn't find anything that high.
What's the line?
Ohio State opened at 3. Ohio State. It went up a little bit.
Wow.
So I have a question to start this when you're done, Andy.
Yeah, no, I just go ahead. Ask the question.
So here's my question for you guys, because I've been thinking about it a lot, and I've been thinking about it in relation to the last couple of years. What value, point-wise, do you put on the whiteout crowd at Penn State? Because generally, everyone thinks that the home field is worth 3 points,
right?
Maybe something like that. I don't think that's the case with the whiteout. So I'm just curious. I have a number in mind. What do you think the whiteout experience is worth to Penn State?
Ross, you can go first. I have a number in mind too.
Six?
My number was 9.
Yeah, mine's 10.
Yeah.
Mine's 10. Thinking about the Michigan game last year.
Yep.
Even the 2014 game when the defending national champion Ohio State team was taken to overtime.
Yep.
When they were up 17-0.
Saeed Blacknell.
I think it's a two-possession advantage. I really do.
I was, normal home field advantage is 3 points. I was thinking it's double that. I was thinking it's double the normal home field advantage. 9 or 10, maybe. I mean, they never should have beat Ohio State a couple years ago, and they won that game. They destroyed Michigan last year. You might be right. We'll see. I'll tell you next week.
Kirk Herbstreit thinks it's worth a lot of points. So let me throw a couple numbers at you guys before we get going. Penn State's the number one scoring offense in the country, 55.5 points a game. Oh, by the way, the Buckeyes are number two at 54.5 points a game. Penn State's top 20 in total offense, 515 yards a game. They're number 10 in the country in rushing offense at 275 yards a game. Okay, so let's little defense on the Nittany Lions. Their defensive rush ranking is 82nd in the country, but scoring wise, they're inside the top 40, 19.5 a game. I mentioned Ohio State's 54.5 points a game. They're number 3 in total offense in the country, right around 600 yards a game. Total defense, they rank 25, but they are better against the pass than the rush and allow only 17 points a game. Dwayne Haskins Jr. has completed 76% of his passes.
Unbelievable.
This season. Unbelievable.
First
nearly
time
1,200
as a starting
yards.
Quarterback. I guess he started Michigan game last year. He played.
He played after JT ran into the camera. Does this feel a little bit like a Big 12 game? And you don't usually say that about Big 10 football, but just with the way that, Ohio State's defense without Bosa, they gave up some yards and some points to TCU. Penn State's had some issues against some lesser teams defensively, but both teams can move the ball. Both teams have athletes. Both teams have quarterbacks who can affect the game in a lot of ways. It just feels almost like this could be almost like a Big 12 game for whatever reason.
I think there's going to be a lot of points, a lot of scoring. And the irony is, remember Ohio State fans and coaches, everybody got so mad when Micah Parsons said that Ohio State should put Dwayne Haskins in. Maybe Micah is a darn good of talent evaluator. Yeah. Maybe
good
Micah.
Call. That's a good pull.
Maybe Micah knew what he was talking about. Yeah. He knew that Dwayne Haskins could throw the ball.
You got to get Micah
sure.
to start listening to this podcast. I think you just did it.
Nice.
Do either of you see a scenario where the defenses do something that keep this game in the 20s?
No.
Or the 30s even?
30s, yes. High 30s.
High 30s. I'm talking 31, 28 something. Do you even see anything remotely close to that? It's just so hard to see either defense having an impact like that on this game.
I'd be surprised if both teams don't get to the 30s.
Yeah.
I really would.
I
think it's going to be a lot of points.
So I wanted to say this, that one of the things that stands out to me, and rightfully so, Trace McSorley, Dwayne Haskins Jr., they are, everyone should be focused on the quarterbacks in this game when you're looking at the offense. They've kind of earned it over long term with Trace, and Haskins' numbers are ridiculous, yeah. So you better be paying attention to him. But why do I feel a lot of this game is going to come down to J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber versus Miles Sanders and Ricky Slade? Both offensive lines are good.
Well, that's what you. I think what you're really saying is the offensive lines might be the two best units on the field.
That was where I was headed.
They might be.
They could be. They're playing like it. They're both executing like it.
Well,
they,
I know Ohio State's line's got some pretty incredible players, and I think Penn State's talent, really made some leaps.
Right. Talent-wise, Penn State has gelled, and their talent showing. I mean, is this
Ohio
about
– Ohio State has more future NFL picks or higher NFL picks, but Penn State's line's been really, really, really good. I mean, I think Urban Meyer said – this is the best line they've had. When was the last time they had a line this good? It's been a while.
Maybe 2008 when they had a three first-team All-Big Ten picks, but only Shipley really, I think, played a lot in the NFL. Orenberger was okay. Cadogan was okay. But these guys, I think, are just a little bit better.
So I'm just wondering, do you think the combination of the offensive lines and those four guys at running back, that's four good running backs, even though Ricky Slade's a true freshman. You could see
it's
it already.
Really, it's hard to make a compelling argument for a 27-24 game. It really is. I mean, it's going to come down to like a couple of stops in this game or a couple of – who doesn't turn the ball over. Ross has mentioned special teams. It's going to be a lot of little things that shape this game. But, you know, if the game is – I would not be surprised if both teams are – approaching the 30s, entering the fourth quarter. And that's usually when the defenses tend to get tired.
Get a little gassed.
So, I mean, the weather's supposed to cooperate. It's supposed to be ideal conditions. I mean, maybe we'll be surprised, but it's really, really hard watching this Penn State team play. It's really, really hard to see them holding Ohio State under 35 points. It just really is.
Yeah, I'm not sure I see – Penn State's defense holding Ohio State under 40 points. I don't see it.
I would not be shocked if both teams got into the 40s. I think it might almost be like a tennis match where you have to hold serve. Like when it's your turn.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it only takes one bad play to stop a drive. You know, like one third down conversion where Juwan Johnson drops a pass or Brandon Polk drops a pass or somebody gets a penalty. You know, Penn State's had penalties, and then you can't sustain a drive because of that. Then you have to punt it away. Yeah. I think you might get left behind in this game if you have a couple three and outs or even a couple
empty
times where
possession.
You don't hold serve. Yeah,
he's only a freshman, but I'll be watching Jake Pinniger because he's 1 for 3. He's made a really short field goal. He tried a 44-yard field goal into the wind. I don't even think he should have tried it. The wind was that bad, and he just missed it badly. I mean, eventually Penn State's going to have to settle for some field goals instead of scoring touchdowns. This
right.
would be one of the games you would think it might happen. And he's a guy I think you have to watch in this game. Maybe he'll make those kicks, but somebody in this game is going to have to make a field goal, and it's going to be important.
Interesting. Interesting. I wanted to ask in both of you, which scenario or which – team is more likely to take this game and run with it and run away and hide with it?
Oh, Ohio State.
It is definitely Ohio State.
I think so. I think they could. And I don't picture Ohio State getting blown out. I think they're too talented, both sides of the ball. I think Penn State, their run defense is just so bad at times that I think that they could get run off the field more so than Ohio State would.
The one thing I saw against TCU, and I watched the TCU-Ohio State game, that for all of his numbers and the immense talent that he has, Haskins has had a clean pocket pretty much all year. When TCU blitz linebackers did some more exotic blitzes as the game went along with rolling an end inside and bringing a linebacker on the outside to try and confuse the O-line, when the pocket was impacted, he was not comfortable at all. But it Yeah. I watched that and I just thought it's time. Micah Parsons can be that guy that I was watching the outside linebacker from TCU consistently in the second half impact the pocket. And I'm like, that's what Micah Parsons needs to be doing in this game because that's what he can do. I think it's a risk they're going to have to take is to let that guy try and make Haskins uncomfortable inside the pocket. Because if he has a clean pocket, Game's
What's
over.
Weird about it is he doesn't really run, right?
He has not run much at all this year, and his release is quick. Like the ball comes out quick. This is one thing that he will experience, though, is crowd noise. And you just wonder when they do get into a third and long, hopefully Penn State will put them in some third and longs. I think it limits kind of some of the things maybe that they can do, and it might affect either changing plays or it might affect the offensive line a little bit. You could see some false starts, but this is where I'm talking about the whiteout crowd and the value it has in the game. You know, if it is worth double-digit points, I mean, this is going to absolutely be a great game. I think on a neutral field, I think Penn State's in trouble. But I think in this environment, this game should absolutely go down to the wire.
Should be an awesome game. I hope it does.
All right, should we do our picks and predictions?
Let's do it.
By the way, Jim, you won last week. He picked up a win on the Illinois game. I'm going to go first. Can I go first?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to go Penn State 45, Ohio State 41. I'm taking – I think the 9 or 10 points at home matters, and I think the better college football quarterback right now, not the more talented one, not the one who could be better in long term, I'm saying the better college quarterback right now is Trace McSorley, and I think this guy wins that game for him.
38-35, Ohio State, great game. I think that – Ohio State special teams, especially that punter, will go a long way towards negating Penn State's return game and KJ Hamler. I do think, though, both teams are going to be in it in the fourth quarter. I just think that Ohio State's a little bit better, and I do think that the whiteout crowd will really, really help Penn State, but I think Ohio State wins very close.
Man, I'm torn on this one.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I really am.
It is not an easy pick.
I could go either way. I think ultimately I'm going to say Ohio State 45, Penn State 42. I think there's a lot of points in the game. I wouldn't be surprised if that was flipped the other way. I guess my faith in Trace McSorley is what makes me think Penn State has a great chance. But, you know, their run defense is terrible.
Their run defense
is really
terrible.
Hard to win if your run defense is that bad. So I'll go 45-42. The Buckeyes.
That's it for our show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Thanks for checking in with us. Join us next week.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority and its recycling partners thank you, football fans, for your increased participation in game day recycling efforts. Remember, recyclables go in the blue bags or in the blue containers. That's plastic bottles, glass bottles, and metal cans. Everything else goes in the clear trash bags. Securely tie the bags and leave them where you parked. And remember, don't leave your grills, chairs, and other bulk items behind. Nittany Nation, let's be Penn State proud and keep our grounds looking great.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.